discover, experience, repeat.
You are listening to Fly Travel Radio here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Melissa Rodway. And today I have Gary Armstrong with me from G Adventures. And Gary is the Global Purpose Specialist, a GPS for Eastern Canada. This is a new term. We've had G on the show many, many times, but it's been a while. So I'm really happy to have you, Gary, on the show today. So welcome to Fly.
Cool, great. Thanks so much for having me.
And I also noticed that you were a Planetara ambassador. I forgot to use that in the introduction, but that's also a very important part of G Adventures, which we will get to. Mm-hmm. But before we hit record on this, we were saying that there's been a lot of acronyms thrown around G, and GPS is a new one for me. So can you explain to us what you do? What is a GPS?
Yeah, so I'm a global purpose specialist. My role is to work very closely with our travel agent partners across Eastern Canada so that when clients go in and speak to their local travel agent, that person is knowledgeable and excited and able to describe exactly what it is that G Adventures does. So I'm kind of the trainer that trains the agent and the trainer. And my job description is I help our agency partners to find more passion, purpose, and happiness in their roles.
Oh, nice.
So we see ourselves as being more than a BDM, like a business development manager. It's that opportunity to allow agents to reconnect with the reasons why they joined this industry and, you know, ensure that they know that they are the original influencers and they have this chance to shape the market. We call them agents of change, the travel agents in the industry.
Okay, well, thank you. And I'm pretty sure there's nobody out there anymore who doesn't know what G Adventures is all about. But should there be that one or two, those one or two lost souls out there, can you tell us a little bit about G Adventures?
Absolutely. So G Adventures is a Canadian adventure travel company. We are the, you know, world's largest small group adventure travel company. So people from all over the world can book small group trips with us in destinations all over the world. And we talk a lot about culturally immersive trips, this idea that the destination itself is the reason to travel to a place to learn about its people, its culture, its history, and the different ways of life that different people around the world live. And our goal and our role is to give travelers the opportunity to really, to learn what life is like in a place.
I've done, I think, 7 trips with G, so
wow.
I love this company. Some of my best travel experiences have definitely been with G Adventures, so big supporter here. So I'm really, really happy to have you on the show. We're going to talk today about COVID and travel and the future. We will talk a little bit about Planetara as well, which is an incredible initiative through G. But Gary, I noticed before we started that you have a very lovely British accent. So where are you from in the UK?
So I grew up, or I went to school in the northeast of England. So yeah, a place near Peterborough. And I traveled a lot as a kid. This is where I got my travel bug from. My parents worked for an international company, and we traveled and lived in a number of different countries. So although I went to school in the UK, I mean, I grew up in Gabon and Nigeria and Brunei and spent time in Eastern Russia. And so I moved to Canada after finishing university and lived in Alberta for 12 years. And then now I've moved to Eastern Canada and I'm living in Ontario.
Wow, that's amazing. That's quite a childhood. And so you were in Calgary, so you got to do a lot of skiing and mountain expeditions, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. We have a few itineraries at G that run through Western Canada as well. And I love speaking to them and have the opportunity to do so more now. And just, yeah, going up to Prince George and Prince Rupert and going through Smithers, you know, there's so much to explore in the Rockies and in BC. It's a really beautiful part of the world.
It's so beautiful. And how are you adapting to Ontario?
I like it out here. Winter's almost finished.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of snow on the ground. I don't think we hit minus 20 very often, whereas, you know, that's definitely better than I'm used to. So
yeah.
I think we're settling in quite well, despite the circumstances right now.
Yeah, it hasn't been a very harsh winter for sure. That's true. And yep, we're almost through it. I'm a winter lover, so I'm always sad to see it go. But I think the beauty of Ontario is all four seasons. So that's one thing. When I lived out west, I really missed the fall, actually, like the colors and just seeing the trees change. So that's one perk to Ontario. I'll leave you with that.
Sure.
Okay, so let's jump in here. Clearly, it's been a very, very difficult year for the travel industry. I wanted to talk to you a bit today about what changes you foresee will happen to the travel industry, what's already happening within the travel industry.
Well, I mean, right now, everything has stopped, or almost everything has stopped. So it is this pause, this opportunity for everybody to kind of look at where the travel industry was going and hopefully and potentially make some changes that will benefit everybody, the traveler, the people in the local destination, and the suppliers as well.
That's interesting because, yeah, it's been very difficult. I've interviewed several people who had their own independent companies and have lost everything. Or we've talked about people in rural parts of the world who this is all they can do, such as guides or people running small guest houses. But it's interesting that you bring this point up because maybe there are some good changes, right, that can come out of this and some positive changes. And it is a chance maybe for the travel industry to reset.
It's definitely been a major impact. And, you know, 1 in 10 jobs around the world rely or, you know, are impacted by travel and tourism. And so to have that large of a employer just, you know, kind of grind to a halt is having major impacts.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we can see that locally, we can see it internationally for sure. And so, you know, it's about coming back and building back a more sustainable long-term future for travel. And what will hopefully guide that is, you know, the demand from travelers.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the core is traveler education. And we see it locally. I mean, even people talking more about shopping locally, and there's this little shift in people's expectations and their way of life. And if we can take all the things that people are doing at home and give them that opportunity to not have to suspend those beliefs when they travel, then I think the industry, yeah, will be better for everybody.
Hmm. Interesting. And G itself, you guys are working really hard. I was looking at your website. So there are a lot of changes that you are putting into place. So can we speak to some of these policies that that will be new with G to ensure safety?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's across every part of our businesses is changing slightly. And so the idea is that we can't just make a few changes here and there. It really has to be from start to finish. So we highly recommend any traveler looking to book a G Adventures trip prior to your departure taking a COVID test, right? Have that negative PCR test before you travel. And then we do have a health questionnaire that we ask travelers to fill out before they board their plane and arrive in destination. We're really fortunate. We have our CEOs on the ground. Mm-hmm. And that question of, is it safe to travel to insert destination here, has always been a question that we've answered. And so our CEOs, our local guides, have always been that bridge and allowed people to kind of embrace and overcome that culture shock and learn about the differences about being in that destination. And now we're asking our CEOs to just layer on that information about what the local guidelines and precautions and protocols are that are in place for COVID-19. And it looks very similar to what we're doing at home, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all the things that we do here, wearing a mask where physical distancing and socially distancing isn't possible, ensuring that we are physically distancing and being socially distant, increased hand hygiene. You know, these are the things that we can ensure that we're enacting on our trips. And we're also really lucky that we operate small groups. So by having that CEO be empowered to kind of set those expectations and then ensure that they are enforcing those protocols means that you end up with a bit of an in-group, out-group mentality, right? Where you just get used to doing these things and it becomes normal. And so there are, yeah, a lot of opportunities and benefits of already being a small group travel provider. So I'd say that we're not having to completely reinvent our business model to do this,
mm-hmm.
but obviously there are changes on the ground and requests of travelers before they arrive. And then also building in the opportunity for travelers to get PCR tests before they leave a destination as well. So we're making those changes, and it's a fluid guideline, right? As the situation changes, so those recommendations will change.
And so the COVID test is recommended. It's not mandatory.
In many destinations, it's mandatory for you to have a negative PCR test to arrive.
Right.
But it's not something that we feel it's our responsibility to mandate. But we are highly, highly recommending that you get tested before you travel.
Yeah, for sure. So what if somebody suddenly doesn't feel well, say, the night before a trip? What happens to them then?
I mean, that's how it starts, right? Is presentation of symptoms. So go to your local clinic, get tested for COVID-19 and call us. Let us know, work with us, and we will figure this out, because we can have terms and conditions and policies, but ultimately we want to ensure that people aren't not getting tested or are traveling even though they are not feeling well, right? And we've all got our responsibility there. So it comes down to personal choice, but absolutely, if you're not feeling well, go and get a COVID-19 test. And I think the suppliers will be very understanding when it comes to, you know, looking at options for postponing or making changes to your travel, even at that close date, because we want to make sure that we are giving travelers the opportunity and making sure that they're incentivized to get tested and tell us what's going on prior to boarding a plane or arriving on one of our tours.
Maybe this is where travel companies will be making the most significant changes. In the past, maybe they were a bit more rigid, right? But there's going to have to be more flexibility with cancellations or rebooking or, you know, money back, all of that kind of stuff. Before, that was kind of difficult, but I feel like these are the big changes that companies are dealing with.
Again, I mean, we've had our lifetime deposits, this idea that you put down a $350 deposit and up to 60 days prior, you can cancel, you can do anything you really like. And although that deposit's non-refundable, it's 100% flexible and transferable. And so I absolutely agree that certain parts and segments of this industry have had very strict rules, and it hasn't always been to the benefit of the client. And this is one of those silver linings, is the fact that more and more companies will make these changes and are making these changes to be more flexible. And it's going to be very hard to roll that back on the other side.
Yes.
So it is to the benefit of the customer. But I think there is a responsibility on the other side to ensure that if you're not feeling well, that you're getting tested and doing that side of things.
Wow, we're really going to have to trust each other a lot more, aren't we? I just realized this. Okay, so G itself has something called the Travel with Confidence Policy. What is that all about?
So we've touched on it. It's all of the things that we're doing as a supplier to ensure that we're mitigating and preventing the risk of transmission of COVID-19 on our trips. So, you know, recommending getting tested, setting expectations on arrival, ensuring that our travelers are following local protocols. And then, you know, if anybody is having symptoms on trips, to make sure that we're facilitating testing and you know, we have protocols in place for all of these things. And ultimately, it's making sure that travelers know they can travel with confidence, that these measures work, that we're able to ensure that it's not just about the health and safety of our travelers. It's critically important for the health and safety of the people in the destination as well, where a lot of rural and remote communities that we visit do not have the robust health infrastructure that Canada has. And so we absolutely need to make sure that we're doing our part to protect the people in the destination as well as protecting the other travelers and, you know, everybody who's traveling on our trips.
Oh, that's a very good point. I love that you brought that up. We do need to think, yes, not just about our own lives and our own bubbles, but the places that we're going to be going to, the people that are living in remote areas. That's an excellent point. Thank you for raising that, Gary. And I also saw on the website pictures of people on a tour that once you now get in the private van, you're going to have to sanitize your hands, wear a mask, all of these things. So even that's a change, and that's amazing to see that already.
Yeah, and I think just in the way that we've all got used to doing these things in our day-to-day lives at home, it's just the same. It's the same when you're traveling. And
yeah,
I think the feedback that we've had from those trips that have departed in the last few months is that the experiences are the same, right? I mean, the chance, the opportunity, the privilege to go and visit a destination, those experiences are the same. It's, you know, they're just under different circumstances,
right,
which is these new protocols. But ultimately, I don't think anything has shown us, you know, this global community, our global society, just how closely interconnected everybody is and just how small the world has become than this global pandemic, where, you know, people in the Serengeti are wearing masks and hand sanitizing, and, you know, to the people, you know, visiting in Western Canada, to wherever you go in the world, these protocols are in place because this pandemic impacts and affects everybody equally.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what tours have gone on? So you were just saying there have been a few that have happened. So where in the world were those?
Yeah, for sure. I think we relaunched limited operations in September, start of October. We've had the last few departures in Europe. We had some hiking in Mont Blanc, as well as some of our local living itineraries in the south of Italy. Costa Rica has been open, and we've been operating there safely for a number of months. And then also Tanzania as well. People have been hiking Mount Kilimanjaro with us during this time as well. And so it's a relatively short list. I think our Maldives sailing as well. We've had a few departures. And so, you know, the expectation and hope is that slowly but surely more destinations open and we're able to operate in more places and do so safely.
So that's interesting. How do you, moving forward, determine what types of trips you can start working on to bring people back and what parts of the world will be the first to open up again for you?
A lot of this is kind of out of our control. So yeah. It's those destinations where, you know, travelers are able to get to, and then also places where, yeah, there's demand for people to go. So it's a bit of both of those things. And it's really specific. It's country by country, region by region, place by place, trip by trip. And so there is still a long road in terms of recovery and getting back to running more trips. But ultimately, I mean, that path is there. We can see how this works through the coming months and years to kind of be able to build and operate in more places. But it's just about taking cautious steps and making sure that we continue to have that focus on safety.
And the trips that have run, do you have many people going on them, or is it full, or is it half capacity?
It varies. I mean, we have released a group of trips, a collection of tours, our Travel with Confidence Plus collection tour, and that's 35, 40 different itineraries where we've reduced the maximum group size to 12. So in those cases, when those trips are running, then yes, it's a maximum of 12. With others, you know, we have been running groups that could have larger group sizes. But right now, the images that I've seen, 5, 8, 10 people on trips. Some of those Costa Rica trips were full at 12 people as well.
Wow. And what you're saying makes sense. I can see that perhaps active travel is easier to manage right now, hiking trips, being out in the countryside versus cities, right?
Yeah. And it's a great opportunity. I mean, I know we've all been locked in our homes for quite a long time. So the idea of, yeah, being able to run these itineraries where you're just outside enjoying nature a little bit more, and where you are in vehicles, right, we're being safe, and you're still able to have those same experiences even during these current times.
I think the thing about G trips is you're interacting locally, you're staying in local accommodations, you're eating in local restaurants, you're traveling with a small group of people. And so to me, the format of G makes a lot of sense because you're not going to lose the essence of what these trips are all about. With managing COVID, it's fairly compliant, right, with how you've always been anyway.
And it's important. I mean, right now, I feel like there's a lot of, I don't want to say if it's backlash, but there's been a lot of, I guess, criticism in the media about travel, but ultimately it's really important. We're very lucky in Canada that we have government funded programs and, you know, employment insurance and these things. In a lot of destinations that rely on travel and tourism, they don't have that same government support. And so it is critical that we're able to, as soon as it's safe to do so, continue to operate so that local economies can benefit from travel and tourism as well. And it's always been the focus of G to ensure that more of the money that people spend with us stays in that local destination, that local people are benefiting. This idea that travel and tourism is a force for good, that travel can be philanthropy, that, you know, a charitable donation is important and fantastic, but you can just take a holiday and that can be your form of giving back, because we have this privilege of travel historically, right? It's a relatively small percentage of the global population that can take that time, that have the financial resources to decide to get on a plane and take a trip. And it can have that purchasing power, and where it goes has a major impact. And, you know, it is important for us to continue to work with local suppliers and make sure that we're giving people those opportunities to travel and that local people can benefit from that.
Have you had to reconsider some hotels, restaurants that you've used in the past according to COVID guidelines now?
No, I mean, it's about working with those smaller local suppliers and becoming that point of information. So it's really interesting because on the operation side, there's been a shift where in many places, they may not necessarily always have access to media in the same way that we do here, and potentially not the same level of information around COVID, its impacts, and how this pandemic is playing out. And so, as a local supplier and as a trusted source of information and through Planetera, we're able to make sure that when we're working with those local hotels or family residences, right, the homestays, and we're like, between each person who comes and visits in each group, we need to fumigate the rooms and we need to make these changes and bring in these protocols. It's not just about do it, it's about this is why we are doing it and we need you to work with us on this, because many places are extremely eager to have travelers come back. And so they are very eager to work with us, but it's also about ensuring that everybody knows the why and is following these protocols stringently, and because it is important. And so, yeah, we become this source of information that, yeah, I think is beneficial as well.
Very interesting. What is the book your bubble feature?
Yeah, so Book Your Bubble, we brought this out in the middle of, well, yeah, last year. And it's this idea that we run small groups and, individually, we all now understand the idea of our bubble, right? The small group of people that we've chosen to be able to interact with while still making sure that we're limiting our large social circles so that we're reducing the risk of transmission. And so the idea is that, yeah, if you have 8 travelers, you can book your own private departure on 80 different G Adventures itineraries. So it's not every G trip, but there's 80 of them where you can just pick your dates and book a group. And so if you want to travel with your family, I know it's been a long time since I've been able to spend time with my family. If you want to interact with your friends, right? If everybody's studying from home and you haven't had the chance to get together with your mates and your colleagues, the people at your school, the institution, whatever it happens to be, then you have that chance to travel together and have those amazing experiences. And I think for families, particularly, multi-generational trips where everybody can get together and go and have these experiences that will build memories to last a lifetime. It's been one of those silver linings where we've been able to bring out something a little bit different and give people that opportunity to have these small groups. And it's been extended into 2022 now as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think that's really interesting because personally, I go on those trips to get away from everybody that I know and to meet new people. But I can see that people are going to probably be, some people will be nervous to travel with strangers. So that's an excellent idea. And yeah, just something that I would never have thought of that would come of this, but it makes so much sense. So that's really interesting that you're doing that. Do you notice a trend happening now for people that are booking in the future? So are they looking at big bucket list items, or are those the things that the interest is starting to generate in, or is it still just random?
No, I'd say that's right. With a G Adventures trip, people tend to book relatively further out in advance anyway. We do have people who, I want to go to Thailand tomorrow, but more often than not, people are planning this further in advance. And absolutely, we're seeing people book a little bit further out. As far as destinations, the trends that we saw prior, in 2019 are similar to what we're seeing now. So absolutely, Central South America, places like Costa Rica or the Galapagos and Peru, Morocco, Egypt, I mean, Jordan, those destinations, particularly right now with the smaller crowds in those areas, the chance to see the pyramids of Egypt, the chance to walk through Petra and do so with far fewer people there as well, is it's a unique time to visit those places. And that, yeah, absolutely, the safaris in Southern Africa and, are perennially popular as well. And we are seeing people book further out in advance. And so, into 2022.
City tours and city travel may be what suffers in the long run, right? It sounds like everyone's seeking big countryside and open spaces and natural, landscapes. So that could be an interesting trend as well. I mean, I was never much of a city traveler myself anyway, but I know a lot of people are.
Yeah, I think that's a trend that we were seeing again prior, this idea of getting off the beaten path and focusing on experiences. I mean, particularly for us, this is what we've always done. So, I mean, G Adventures has built our niche out of this trend, and that, more and more people wanting to do more and more different things, versus what may traditionally be perceived as a vacation, you know, an all-inclusive resort or a cruise, to go to a place and, yeah, see those more off the beaten path areas and interact with local people in small towns. I mean, that's always been the focus on a lot of our trips. So, yeah, I mean, it could be that we see more of that in the future. I mean, ultimately, it's what's the short-term impact, what's the medium-term impact, and what's the long-term impact? And we do have short memories, you know, as the pandemic fades into the past. I mean, we'll see what changes are going to be with us for the long haul and which ones maybe will disappear.
Mm-hmm. And what about prices? So will COVID make things more expensive, the same, less expensive? What do you predict there?
I mean, we're getting our crystal balls out for sure. And, you know, let's take a look. So it's really difficult to predict. I think there's a difference between people in the industry and customers, because I think the perception is that suddenly everything will be less expensive because companies will be desperate to attract customers. But the other side of this is the vast majority of suppliers may be working on more limited inventory. And so, you know, where there's less supply, and from all what we've seen through past shocks to the industry, is that there is this pent-up demand that people love to travel, they want to travel. And as soon as they're able to do so, there will be a large percentage of the population who really wants to just get out and go and see stuff. Mm-hmm. And so if you have that big rush of demand and you continue to see constrained supply, then, you know, prices could go in the other direction as well. So we'll see. I would say that a lot of what we talk about right now at Jeet Adventures is book now to travel later, right? To commit to travel in the future, to commit to supporting your local community if you book through a travel agent, as well as supporting communities in the places that you visit, because the flexibility is there. You know, you can push that date further away. If things improve much better and much faster, then you can bring that trip closer to you. But ultimately, you know, we run small groups. So book early to avoid disappointment, to get the dates that you want on the departure that you want. And, you know, the flexibility is there as well.
It's a nice time to start planning and looking ahead and figuring out what you want to do. I think personally, I just kind of put travel aside, but recently I feel a real urge to start planning and dreaming again. So now is a great time if you're ready to put a deposit down for even a year from now or whenever. I mean, there's no time like the present to have something to look forward to, I think.
And that's really a big part of travel, right? Especially the travel that we do. It's that anticipation, right? Mm-hmm. Of being able to look forward and then potentially read around your destination, read around the subject. I had the good fortune to go to the Galapagos in 2018, and there was lots of wildlife documentaries I was watching, you know, reading books on the geological formation and process of the islands, and just learning about the fauna and flora of that destination. And so a big part of travel is that anticipation and that enjoyment of knowing that you're going, and yeah, being able to learn a little bit more about the place before you go as well. And so there's three parts to it. There's the dreaming before you go, there's the trip itself and having those experiences, and then there's the memories that it creates and the impact that it has on you as an individual. And when we talk about changing people's lives at G, we absolutely talk about the life-changing power that can have for you as an individual to go to a place, as well as the power to change the lives of the people in that destination as well.
Absolutely. And again, just to reiterate, this is a really positive thing about G that's been there for a while, is the fact that if you do put your deposit down and you can't go on that trip, you can defer it to another trip, or it's not lost, right?
No.
You can apply it to something else.
It's really hard to lose your deposit with G. I mean, if you really try, you might be able to do it. But ultimately, it's it's a lifetime deposit. It's good for life. So if you, for any reason, choose to change that trip, then it stays as a credit on your file. If you want to gift it to a family member or a friend, we can do a name change. We have people who donate their lifetime deposits to Planetera, which is very much appreciated as well. But ultimately, it's yours to do with what you wish. And things come up. Things have always come up in life that prevent people from being able to travel. And we don't penalize the traveler for that. The idea is that it's your money and it's a deposit. So we will, yeah, be happy to have you on a different trip at a later date, if possible, or when possible.
Amazing. And you mentioned Planetera. So let's go there. What is Planetera all about? Again, we have had a couple people, but it's been a while. So we could all use a recap about this amazing initiative.
Yeah, so Planetera is the nonprofit partner, the sister company to G Adventures. It was also founded by the same founder of G. So Bruce founded G Adventures and then later founded Planetera. And Planetera's mission statement is to turn travel into impact. They are the body that goes out and works with rural, remote communities, helps them realize their dreams and build their vision of being able to tap into the traveler economy. And so, yeah, Planetera provides expertise, it provides seed funding, it provides institutional knowledge to help those communities and individuals set up those businesses and become able to earn additional sources of revenue through providing travel-related services.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us maybe an example of a couple of them and what parts of the world and what the initiatives are?
Yes. How much time do we have?
As much time as you want.
So Planetera is, we have over 100 projects globally now. There's a lot of different examples for those destinations that are really popular with Canadian travelers. A place really close to my heart is Peru. And we have a number of projects in the Sacred Valley, one of which is the Parral Restaurant, which is a training kitchen that was set up in partnership with the local community, where G-Adventures travelers will have a fantastic meal in the Sacred Valley of Peru and learn about the local cuisine, the different potatoes, the quinoa, the other food. A lot of that food is grown through farms in the region, so that business is supporting other local businesses. And the revenue that's generated by the Parral Restaurant goes to the community. And the community, a number of years ago, set up a new computer lab in its local school so that the children of the region could gain digital literacy, which is, you know, as if not more important than numerical and written literacy in the 21st century. And it's that community project that has given benefits back to the community. And they were the first Planetera project to then donate to Planetera. So part of the proceeds that they generated in a year, they put back into the loop tail, I guess, and help to support the creation and working with other businesses and communities around the world. There's over 100, so it's really difficult to pick.
Yeah, I remember one was it Women in Wheels or something like that India, so, the taxi drivers?
Absolutely. So we want to provide services to our travelers. So when travelers arrive in India, they need to get to their hotel. So how do we manage that? Well, one way of doing it is partnering with a local nonprofit organization that works with at-risk women to give them that opportunity to do an 18-month training course to become professional drivers. And G-Adventures, parts of the funds then went to expand the fleet, so buy those new graduates a car so that they can then start to provide airport transfers to our travelers arriving in India. Initially, the Women on Wheels were providing transportation for our female travelers, and then ultimately we were the first partner that they were working with where they would pick up all of our travelers, because that organization felt that, you know, our travelers were safe. And yeah, the types of people who were taking G-Adventures trips, they had full confidence that those female drivers would be able to pick them up and transport them. So it's a growing partnership. It's a really close partnership between G-Adventures, Planetera, and the organization that supports those women. And the impact is massive. Like, you can't underestimate the impact. To give this opportunity to women and then give them the freedom of owning a vehicle and that power to go and do what they want to do. And it has life-changing consequences for those families.
Yes, that is huge. I love that project. I really enjoyed learning about that. And then I stayed at the Barali homestay in Nepal. So that one was near and dear to my heart. So that was a beautiful, fun time that we had there.
Yeah, and again, it's not rocket science for us when it comes to where to and how to build these projects and for Planetera to work with communities. I mean, we've talked about food and meals. We've talked about transportation. And of course, accommodation is a massive part of what we do. So the more and more we can work with local partners, a lot of that is expertise, just, you know, making sure that the standard of accommodation is going to be in keeping with the expectations of travelers for whichever travel style those trips are that are coming in. And then really just, yeah, empowering them to make the changes, providing the expertise so that they can then offer accommodation to our travelers. And it's so much more, right? I mean, usually it's a meal and a cultural experience and cultural exchange. And there's no better way of learning about the people in a place than living with them and interacting with them. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's a real benefit of traveling with a small group and working and choosing a company like G-Adventures, because we have these partnerships in place and we ensure that it's not a one-way conversation, that Planetera is working and managing and ensuring that we're meeting the needs and allowing the people in that community to choose what that looks like, right? To build the business themselves. They have their own vision. It's not G-Adventures coming in saying, hey, we need to house X number of travelers on these trips. You know, who wants to do that? It's working with that community and them saying, look, you know, we have these rooms, but we need this to get them to a standard. And how can you help us with this? And this is what our goals are and what we want to see out of this. And so it's, it's collaborative. And there's no other way really of providing that kind of experience to a traveler than through working directly with the people there. It's one of those win-win-wins, right? It's a unique experience for people traveling with us. It's an amazing experience for the traveler, and it also ensures that local people are benefiting as well and sharing their culture.
Absolutely. And I'll share with you my experience there. We arrived, and this was with the Barali people in Chitwan National Park in Nepal. Mm-hmm. So quite remote. And we had an amazing dinner. The food was so good. And then spontaneously, we ended up walking down this dirt road and crashing a wedding and dancing with the local people. And it was amazing. So in these experiences, you just never know what will happen, right? So they're really important. And I think what I get out of them the most is seeing female empowerment and how much that changes a community. And as you were saying earlier, you really do see your part in it when you are seeing how coming to see these places and stay with them and live in their accommodation and eat their food, this has changed lives for so many people and given them purpose and given them money and given them the ability to educate their own children. I mean, there's such a domino effect, a trickle-down effect of travel in this way. And it's so important, I think, for us to realize that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's the types of experiences that, I mean, we can't write that in the brochure, right? It's really difficult to codify this. And the other thing we say a lot at G is adventure travel can sometimes be scary. People don't know what you mean when you say adventure travel, but it's leaving room for the unexpected, right? It's giving people that opportunity to push their comfort zone just a tiny bit, to go to that place they always dreamed of going, you know, likely when they were kids, you know, learned about a place at school, always wanted to go, but for some reason, potentially fear going to that place, and facilitate that journey and then leave space for those kinds of experiences that you've just described. And and the only way you can do that is through working sustainably with local people and ensuring that they benefit, because that's how you make the magic work. Mm-hmm. So we're very lucky that we have this opportunity and we have that that history as a company, that this is baked in. This is the way that we've always run our trips. This will always be the way that we run our trips. And, you know, on our National Geographic journeys or our 18 to 30 something trips, all the wellness tours, whatever travel style you're looking at, this is what we do. And so the other side to this is I have people asking, well, how authentic is it? You know, what does this look like? And there's, I think, a lot of cynicism sometimes around these unique experiences and working with it, rural and remote people. And yeah, it's interesting, but there's lots of anecdotes like the one you just told that I've had, that I've heard. And you can't stage these things. You really can't. It's mm-hmm. just about embracing the bizarre and going with the flow and being open to those opportunities when they arise.
I think, too, it's a really good exercise in trust, right? You have to trust that people are people around the world and they're there to welcome you and to open you. It's also about trusting G. I've had a few people that have come to me questioning certain destinations, and I always say they're not going to take you somewhere where something terrible is going to happen to you. It's just not going to happen. And if it happens, then it's an anomaly, right? But you have to trust the system. You have to trust humanity in these experiences, I think.
And that's what travel, I think it allows us to do that, right? So often mm-hmm. if we're not open to travel, then it's easy to have that fear. This is, you know, where travel can be transformative, is that it gives you that chance to go and meet people of a different religion, of a different culture, who practice a different way of life, and realize that, they're exactly the same as the way that we are at home. And mm-hmm. sure, there's differences, but there's far more that unites us as a global society than divides us. And again, you know, I guess it's the romantic vision, but this idea that, you know, travel really is important, right? That, mm-hmm. You know, we're all born explorers, and somehow the modern travel industry in many parts of the world, it turns us into tourists versus giving us that chance to explore. And yeah, safety is always the number one thing. During a pandemic and for the rest of the time that we've been operating as a business, we have our local guides. They are empowered to make changes on the fly. They know where to go and where not to go, and they can help our travelers ensure that they are safe in destinations. And it's interesting because what's potentially, you know, off the beaten path and a place that, you know, maybe you wouldn't think of going for one person is a place that other people would just jump and go to and not even think about it. And it's great to give people that chance to just pick somewhere, go somewhere, and know that everything is going to be fine.
Yes. And then you can come back and tell everybody, right? I mean, I was in Jordan last year, and most people who are big travelers are like, oh yeah, Jordan's the best. And then you tell a few other people and they're like, you went to the Middle East? I'm like, and so you have that opportunity to spread the word, right, about the safety of a country and why you should go there. And you can be an ambassador as well. So
yeah, we've been talking a lot about Colombia, right? An up and coming destination, a place that is just stunningly beautiful. It's, you know, very close to Canada. And again, the list is, you know, beaches, food, people, culture, history. I mean, it's the fauna, the flora. It's such an amazing destination. And one of my colleagues was traveling, and it was a group of travel agents who were with her. And, you know, it was a group of female travelers. I think there was 10 or 12 of them, and they're all women with their local guide. And they said that it was the safest trip they've ever had. They never felt uncomfortable at any point. And yeah, it's sometimes the perception is very different to the reality in places.
Yes. And sometimes people hold on to a history that is no longer the present, right? So I think people need to remember that we're in a new life, a new chapter with certain countries, and it's time to move on.
Yeah. And go and ask questions. There's no better way to learn about a people, a place, and a history that, you know, I mean, the news is one way, but, you know, have a conversation with a local person in a place and ask them the difficult questions and find out what they think. I mean, I love talking about Cuba. I was in Vietnam in 2019, you know, communist countries, and meet the people and ask them questions and learn about life in that region, and just amazing experiences in those places.
Absolutely. Okay, we're running out of time, which is always a sad moment, but I'm going to ask you one thing before we head into our on-the-fly questions. I did notice that G has helped it with some emergency grants. Can you just give us a little rundown of how that worked during COVID for rural communities, I'm assuming?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, the example I tend to focus on is Peru. So we have a number of projects. A lot of our Planetera projects, and planetera.org is the best place to get up-to-date information and look at all the work that organization is doing. But providing a grant so that we could provide essential medical services and food to some of the more remote projects in the region. And also internally at G, we had a program to provide emergency support to a lot of our porters, cooks, and guides who, you know, were not working during the pandemic, especially at its start. And so a lot of our projects have been able to pivot. You know, they're looking at other sources of revenue. They're still working within their communities to empower youth, to empower women, to preserve culture. But the work for Planetera and all these places goes on. And we've had a number of fundraisers. There's fundraising that we do internally as a Planetera ambassador. I help raise funds within G Adventures, and I donate to Planetera on a yearly basis as well, because we know that this money has a major impact. And so I would just really recommend, if anybody wants to know more about the ways that G Adventures and Planetera are continuing to support our 100 plus partners around the world, planetera.org is the place to go.
Amazing. And I'm so happy to hear that, because I have to say, I mean, I've met some amazing travelers on my G trips, hands down, but it's always the guides. They get into your heart, I find, the most. So I love to hear that that's happening.
I joke about it a lot, that, you know, there's a lot of great people work at G Adventures, and, you know, Bruce is a great guy, but the best people at our company are our CEOs, our local guides. They're just the funnest person to meet.
Oh, I know. I fall in love with each one of them. Yep, I know. They're just such special, wonderful people. So that's a really amazing point of going on these trips. You're in very good hands. Okay, here we go, Gary. We're going to do this very quickly.
Okay.
So on the fly, number one, what and where was your first trip that gave you the travel bug?
Well, I'm going to say Peru, because we were there for an internal conference at G Adventures, and it literally changed my life.
Amazing. I love Peru too. Okay, number two, what country do you think has the best food experience?
That is an impossible question to answer because I've lived in many places and everywhere would be very unhappy with me. I mean, a fish and chips from a good chippy in the UK to, I'm sure, you know, poutine in a restaurant in Quebec. Again, guinea pig in Ecuador or in Peru. I would say quantity over quality is the most important thing with food experiences.
Did you actually like eating guinea pig?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy it. And it's interesting because I was talking to a friend who, you know, they let me know that according to that person, the further north you go, the better the guinea pig gets, that Peru cooks it in a certain way and then Ecuador cooks it in a certain way. But the best guinea pig is in Colombia. So I haven't been to Colombia yet, but I will be sampling the guinea pig when I arrive, I'm sure.
All right. I did it in Peru, but it was not a pleasant time. Number three, what essential item do you bring with you on every trip?
Other than, you know, a sense of adventure and a smile and these kinds of things, if it's a physical item, I would say an adapter, a power adapter.
Oh, that's a good one.
We live in a technical world and my camera, my phone, my laptop, everything needs power and it won't plug into the wall where I'm going. So don't forget that.
Okay, I like that one. Very good. Number four, what is your best travel tip to pass on to others?
Don't forget to have fun, right? Mm. So often things happen, flights are delayed, you know, there are hiccups on travel and you won't remember any of that in 3 months, 3 years, you know, 3 decades. What you'll remember is the really great stuff. So don't sweat the frustrating, annoying, irritating stuff because you'll just never remember it anyway. And a smile can do a lot more than a loud voice.
Beautiful. Number five, is there a certain item or souvenir that you look for on each trip and what would that be?
Yeah, a lot of the time, anything that's handcrafted by people in the destination where, you know, I know it's been made by them and not, you know, purchased from another country. And so be that, you know, textiles or handicrafts or, you know, I've got a bowl from Peru. I've got a lot of scarves, art from Vietnam, you know, just little things that I can get in my suitcase. But anything that is made locally that I know that, you know, I can treasure and also show off if and when people come around.
I see a beautiful poncho behind you. Is that from Peru?
It is, absolutely. Yeah, I wear my Peruvian scarf every day in the winter because it's functional, right? I have a bowl from Peru that I eat out of most days. I mean, you can get functional things. It doesn't need to be a magnet or another mug, or there's lots of things that you can get in destination that can be functional, but also transport you back to that place and the emotions that you had when you were there.
Beautiful. Number six, what is at the top of your bucket list? So this could be an adventure, a destination, or an experience.
That's a very tricky one. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, Mongolia was top of my list to go and the Nadam Festival and visit that area. I think that, yeah, that's still going to be pretty high up on my list, but it's tricky. When you're in the industry, there's so many different places. And I've talked a lot about Peru, but hiking to Chococurau is another one of those life goals that I have. So it's tough to choose between the two.
Mm-hmm, I get that. I think when you're in the travel industry, your list just gets longer instead of shorter.
Yeah.
Where were you last and where were you supposed to be going next? So this is our COVID-related travel question.
Yeah. The last trip I had was that trip to Vietnam and it was, yeah. We could talk for an hour about that, or I would talk for an hour about that trip. And then I was supposed to go to France and spend time on our riverboat there and with a group of travel agents. And so I think, you know, Europe is more likely to be my next trip. My parents live there. They live in Northern Cyprus. So it could be that I get the chance to potentially, and we've just launched a new trip in Northern Cyprus, which they were really happy about because the hotel that we use is a 5-minute drive from their house. And so they were going through the itinerary with me, telling me about all the highlights. And I've been on a lot of those parts. And I can say from personal experience that it's a really beautiful destination and a great trip.
Mm, well, I hope you get to go. That sounds amazing. Okay, here's the big one. Number eight, fly, discover, experience, repeat. So this is the Fly Travel Radio mantra. If you could add a word after discover an experience to reflect how you feel about travel and adventure, what would you say?
I would say impact. So discover, experience, and impact. And I think if you think about your impact, you'll ensure that it's a positive impact, and you'll think about where your money is going when you're deciding on where to book. Yeah, so discover, experience, impact.
Oh, I like that one. Is there anything you would like to leave us with before we have to let you go, Gary? Any final thoughts?
I would say that, yeah, just travel it's a beautiful thing. It's beneficial to everybody involved. And right now, obviously, it's something that is being restricted for very good reason. And there is opportunity. There will be opportunity to travel in the future. And when that opportunity arises again, and when the worst of this pandemic is behind us, we all hope at GAdventures that people will choose a destination because of the destination, because of the people, the place, the history, the culture, versus the, you know, thread count on the sheets or the number of different restaurants available to you or the color of the sand. I mean, there's so many beautiful parts of the world to discover. And just by going and seeing them, you're changing lives.
Amazing, Gary. I think you've given a real positive spin today on traveling and on the industry. I think there's a lot of unrest and people are getting frustrated. So I really appreciate everything you've said today, and you've given people some hope and the chance to start dreaming again. So thank you so much for that. And you can go to gadventures.com to start looking through all the different trips. I think you sounds like you have some new ones that are coming out. That's amazing.
I mean, specifically for Europe, we have some new Europe hiking trips. And the hope is that travel within the Schengen area will be possible. And also that there may be, similar to last year, air bridges between certain destinations. I think that makes even more sense this year with, you know, high vaccination numbers in certain countries. It will facilitate the opportunity for air bridges. And then the real hope is that the demand and desire for travel internationally will help to ensure a more equitable distribution of vaccine moving forward as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Gary, so much. We've been speaking with Gary Armstrong, who is the GPS for Eastern Canada. And again, that is a global purpose specialist, as well as being a Planetera ambassador. So thank you for joining us today on Fly.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Immediate boarding, please. Gate H1.
Discover. Discover, experience, repeat.
Fly.